Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to Eagles Life Rebuilding Center Blog Talk Radio Service, Life Construction Zone, giving you bricks to help you rebuild your lives with sound and faith-filled doctrine straight from the Bible. We'll be speaking to you with revelations from the Most High, just what we need in times like these. We're already into our Sunday service pandemic. Pretty soon, the county of Broward is going to start opening up, and we're going to be back into our services. But for this morning, we're going to be going on the radio again from our home, and Bishop and I are going to be sharing words of life with you today. It's construction, so it's building time, and we're so glad to be able to come into your home, your automobile, or wherever you're listening, on your computer, your cell phone, or whatever the case may be. God bless you as Bishop comes to break to share with you and to open up prayer.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank God for the broadcast. Thank God for another day. Thank God for you and you and you. Just another day of the Lord. Which every day is a day of the Lord, but we just want to rejoice and just give God praises and all that He has kept us all week long. We didn't have no bad news. Praise God, amen. As far as I know, but I just want to just thank God for who He is, because God is in charge. No matter what's going on around us, He is still going to be God Almighty. I thank you this morning for you and you again. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Father, for another day. We thank you, Lord God, for who we are today. We thank you, Father, for who you are today. You're God all by yourself. We give you praise, and we just want to just thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. We realize and understand that you haven't finished with us yet. We still got yet to go, still have things to do. We thank God for you being in charge, because if you've been in charge, then we know that no harm will come against us. And Lord God, we thank you this day just for another day. Father, we ask right now to just look on those, Father, that are down under the heart today, those that are just troubling their mind, those that just troubles. But Lord God, we know there's nothing too hard for you. Father, we know all things are possible with you, God. You're God all by yourself. You're the creator. You're the maker of all things this day. And Lord God, because you're giving us another day, Father, we are risen another day, Father, to just tell you thank you. Another day that we can open up our hearts and our minds and our ears, and we can hear the one that brings forth the bread of life today, the one that brings forth the word, because we realize and know that everything is going down but the word of God. We know we're not going to be here always, and I often say, Father, we say today, Father, that if you don't never bless us no more, Father, we still can tell you thank you. Lord God, we stand this morning as a people this morning for another day that you would look on us and help us this day, Father. Lord God, we're not confessing that we have done everything that we ought to have done. We have failed in so many ways, and our thoughts, our things that we have said in our heart, the things that we have done and places that we have went, we should not have went. But, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Father, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this day, Lord God. We thank you for your word, Father, that it is a roadmap for our lives, and tell us what avenues to go down and what avenues not to go down. But we thank you, Lord God, for being able to accept this word, Father. You have made ways, Father, that your Holy Spirit can be an indwelling within us this day, Lord. Father, we ask this day, Father, somebody needs you for one thing and somebody needs you for another. But, Lord God, we ask you this day, Father, they get look on those this day, Father, that's really in a need today, Father, because there's somebody that's really in a great need today, Father. And your word says that you bore all of our sickness and all our infirmities, and it's about your stripes we will be healed. Lord God, we thank you this day, Father, for healing, Father. You say we can't decree a thing, Father. We decree it when we call it done this day, Father. And Lord God, we'd ask, Father, for our mother, the church, Father, We ask you to just bless the family, Father, the love of a lost one, Father. And we ask this day, Father, to bless our other mother, Mother Jane, Lord, and all of her family, Lord God. Oh, Father, that she has been under the weather for so long, Father, we ask you to give her touch, not only just in her body, but in her mind and in her heart as well, Father. Oh, God, and them both of the mothers, Father. We ask, Father, to let the family, Father, be at peace of the loss of the mother who have lost her son, have gone on to be with you, Lord. And, oh, God, give everyone, Father, we ask today, a word, Father, they will be encouraging to one another, Father. They will continue to love one another, Father, and have that, Father, that you have given to every heart of every man, Father. We realize and understand that every man that's saved, Father, you said the love of God have been scattered abroad in his heart. So, Father, we thank you this day, Father, for that, God. We know that we got yet to come and yet to go this day, Father, but we thank you, Father, even just for another day, Lord. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, Father, but we come today, Father, to sanctify ourselves, Father. We come with a made-up mind and heart today, Father, that we'll be acceptable, Father, unto all that you're giving unto us this day, Lord God. We'd ask you to just have your way, Father. Let the holy angels, Father, begin to minister to our spirit today, Father. Let this word, Father, that come forth today be a rhema word, Father. No, God, we ask you to look on those that in the hospital, those in the nursing home, Father. Those, Father, that's incarcerated today, Father. Those that's just on the street today, Father. Those that just don't know you today, God. Father, we ask, Father, throughout this universe, Father, even those that are sitting in high places, Father, that are making all these decisions, Father. We ask you to touch their hearts and their minds, Father. No, God, their family, their children as well, Father. Their businesses, Father. Oh, God, whatever the case might be, Father, we ask you to look on those, Father, that haven't been, Father, in a while, Father, to you this day, Father, haven't accepted you, Father. We ask right now, Father, for your goodness and mercy, Father, to go after them, Father. Allow them, Father, to be a change of heart and mind, God, because you are the creator of this universe, Father. And if it had not been for you, God, there would be nothing that is this day, Lord God. And we just ask you, Father, to just stretch out your hand, Father. Oh, God, that we all will be at peace, Father, and your word says that you are a present help in a time of troubles, and so much trouble that's going on all around us this day, Father. And, oh, God, we thank you, Father, for who you have made us to be, Father. We thank you, Father, for the love that you have for us this day, God. We thank you, Father, for just being God all by yourself. We thank you, Lord, that the decisions come from you this day. No, God, we realize that, no, Father, that everything is moving by your power this day. There's nothing moving that except you allowed to be this day, Father. We know that you are still in charge of it all this day, God. And, oh, Father, we ask you to look on each and every one, Father, throughout this universe. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. We believe God. Amen. Listening to Tasha Cobb, amen. Bishop began to take us before the throne this morning, praising God. Amen. That we believe, we still believe that mountains are still being moved and strongholds are being loose, amen. We believe God, amen, because like the word, the song said, praise God, this is a move, and we're here. We're right now in the presence of the living God. No matter where we are, glory to God, as long as you're a child of the Most High God, you're in his presence. We're here, and we just want him to come and do what he do, praise God, as God begin to come before us, come with us and to use us this morning. We pray for understanding and clarity in the word, amen. Like the woman says, amen. We are here, praise God, and we believe that the Spirit of the Lord is here with us. God bless you, amen. Welcome again to Life Construction Zone this Sunday morning. We're so happy, amen, to just to be in your presence and to know that you're listening by radio or by telephone or however, or on the computer. We know that you're here receiving the word of God. So this morning, we had a message already prepared, amen, your sins are forgiven, from the book of Luke, praise God. We're going to touch on that a little bit, but as we were getting ready this morning, the Spirit of the Lord spoke something different, and so we're going to touch on that a little bit, and then we're going to go into the word of God for today. Amen. From the book of Luke, I just want to read this verse. Very, very touching. Amen. And Luke, if you get an opportunity, amen, to search the New Testament, praise God. Amen. You start with Matthew and work your way through. But when you get to Luke, Luke has so much detail about the Christ, the Lord, and his the things that he did on in this earth and the healings and the ministry. He just goes a little bit more into detail. And I was reading when I was preparing the beginning from chapter 7, but we're going to share this scripture with you from chapter 7, starting at verse 40. And the word of God says, then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, this is Simon Peter he's talking to. He said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver, to one, 50 pieces, and to the other. Neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, concealing their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? So Simon answered, I suppose the one whom had canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but for the whole time I've been sitting here, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed me with my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins be forgiven. Because this woman loved him so much, and she showed so much love, and even though in those days when the Pharisees, which were the religious leaders and the lawmakers, the scribes, these people were so traditional. They were heavy traditional, and this is why Jesus called them whitewashed walls, because they would put laws and rules and the regulations on the people, and then they made their own laws in addition to the laws of Moses, and they wouldn't do the laws. They wouldn't keep the laws themselves. So he said, you won't enter into heaven, and you won't allow the people to enter it either. He called them whitewashed walls. And so the tradition was, you know, certain things you just didn't do. And this woman who was a sinner, whenever Jesus went to break bread with sinners or to minister to sinners, the people would get upset. And when he told them, I came to help those that are sick, those that are well don't need a physician. I came to seek those that are lost. And so this is what our Savior came. I'm so glad that God sent him, that he prepared himself a body to come down and redeem us to himself. But when I see that story and how touching it is and how everybody looked on this woman and why are you in here and why are you even touching the master? You're a sinner, as if they haven't committed any sins, but you're a sinner. And all the sins, you're a harlot and you're prostitute or whatever the case may be. And Jesus says she's got a lot of sins, but she's so grateful for forgiveness. She loves me. She's anointing me. She's just praising her version of worshiping the master. And I can't help but forgive her. I mean, she's endowing him with love. And because she is a sinner, she needs that more. And we need that. And thank God that he has sent his grace and his mercy to save us, because people need the Lord. Folks don't think they do. But in this day and age, we need the Lord. So our sins are forgiven. And when we read the scriptures, we see that through Christ they are. But we have to receive him as our Savior. We have to portray him as the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our life. He walked through Jerusalem and all through Asia Minor, Bethphage. He went through Samaria, went through different places teaching and preaching the gospel. And not only that, but he was showing a life of love. When they said you couldn't heal on the Sabbath, and he said, what? I mean, if you had 100 sheep and one of them fell into a hole, you mean to tell me on the Sabbath you wouldn't stop what you're doing to go into that hole and retrieve him, leave the 99? So when somebody needs help, It don't matter what day, you have to reach out and help them. That's what love is. Thank God for forgiveness of sins. That Mary Magdalene, and her name means Magdala, and she's from the village of Magdala, and it's over near the Sea of Galilee. But just her humility helped you to see that she saw her hurt. She never went to him, and you think, and you, if you look at the story of the ruler and the lawmaker, and how one of them humbled himself, tax collector, he humbled himself when he went in the synagogue to pray and admitted he was a sinner. Oh, but the high and mighty one, you know, the rich ruler, he just held his head up and said, you know what, I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector over there. I'm not full of sin, but you are. You are full of sin. And so Jesus said when the tax collector went away because he confessed his sins and admitted that he's a sinner, and he went away more forgiven or more justified than the one that said, well, I give my tithes every week, and I'm always in church, and I'm always doing this. Yeah, but you're doing everything else too. And so you're judging the child of the living God, and then you got something that you need to deal with. And so this is what love and being forgiven is all about. God has forgiven us, but he didn't forgive us for us to go back and do it again. When you're forgiven, you walk away from that. You don't do that again. A lot of folks, the Lord forgive them, and they go and they keep doing the same thing over and over. And after a while, it'll be just like in Hebrews chapter 10, when the Bible says that, the Apostle Paul says, it's like you're just caught, you know, saying that the salvation of God is not even worth it. You know, you're spitting on him, in other words. You're spitting in his face when you do that, when you know it's wrong and you continue in it. So just to touch on that a little bit, amen, to just remember, praise God, that when you seek the Lord, like the Lord told Jeremiah, he says, tell the people, tell Israel and Judah, if they seek me, they'll find me if they seek for me with their whole heart. What does it mean to seek for God with your whole heart? Read your scriptures, read the Bible, pray. Have conversation, dialogue with the Father. Assemble yourself with the saints of God in the church. I mean, every channel, instead of watching other things on TV, watch ministry on television. Listen to ministry on radio. Play your gospel music. Whatever it takes for you to open up yourself so that you can be open to the Father. And when you're reading, a lot of people say, well, you know what, I don't understand the these and the thous and the those. It's just a way of speaking English. The old English is what it is. If you don't, then get a plain English Bible. But the clarity in that is that you have to ask God for understanding anyway. And ask him to fill you with his spirit so you'll get some knowledge. The word today is believing in miracles. In this time, especially now, I can't say this enough, we need the miracle working power of the Father on every hand, not just for healing of the body, but for healing of the mind and healing of the spirit. A lot of people are spiritually, their minds are caught up, and they're spiritually torn apart. They're drawn, and they're broken in the spirit. And so a lot of people need a spiritual healing as well. And we understand that Jesus is a healer. And he's not just a healer, as I said, of the body, but of the mind as well. When he was teaching, and he taught in parables, but he was giving them a mind healing and trying to change their mindset and their intellect and how they think. And that's what we need to do today. Apostle Paul said it clearly in the book of Romans when he said we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, meaning that we got to think, start thinking a different way, because most of the time we have our heads in the clouds and, well, I think it should be like this, and I think it should be, but my friends told me and I heard this, and instead of having an open mind, when you come to God, the Bible says you have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Don't try to look for him in the ordinary or the way, you know, you think it ought to be, because that's not God. You need to look for him in whatever means necessary. You know, go to yourself, lock up by yourself in your room or whatever the case may be, in your automobile, wherever, and cry out for him on your own. You need to find your place in God for yourself, not let somebody else try to put you there. Seek him on your own. And so we'll go to St. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 21 to 36, and then we'll jump to 41. And the scripture says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, catch that. She shall live. This is what he said to Jesus. If you lay hands on her, she'll be healed, and she shall live. He didn't say that she might be healed or she might live, but he said that with a surety, and that's how you have to come to the Father. When you're praying to him, you just got to believe that, Father, if you touch it, if I bring this subject to you, I know you're going to work it out. I know you're going to fix it. I already know that it's done. I know that my Father is a healer. Not that he, you know, that it should, it could be, or it might be, or I hope it be, but I know that she shall live. So Jairus was very serious about this when he said, if you lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and that she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, verse 24, and they thronged him. Verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and she touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway a fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press, and he said, who touched me? And his disciples said to him, thou seest this multitude thronging thee, and saith thou, who touched me? And he looked around about and he to see her who had done this thing. But the woman was fearing and trembling, and she knowing what she had done, what was done in her, she came and fell down at his feet, and she told him all the truth. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from him the ruler of the synagogue's house, Jairus' house, a certain man, and he said, thy daughter is dead. Why are you troubling the master any further? Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Let's go to verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha kami, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And our key thought is, be not afraid, only believe. Those are the words that Jesus spoke into Jairus' ears. He heard his family and the publicans and all of them from his area come running to him, tell him, don't worry, Jesus, no more. It's too late now. Your daughter is dead, so why are you troubling him? But Jesus turned to him after he heard them say that, and he said to him, don't be afraid. Just believe. That's all we have to do is just believe. We can't look at our circumstances and situations because they ain't going to always be a positive. Most of the times, it's going to be a negative. But God can turn a negative to a positive. He will take the worst thing that the enemy will do for us and turn it around and work it for our good, make you come out on top. But you got to believe. You have to have faith. Somebody got to say in their heart this morning, I believe in miracles. You ought to lift your hands up and say, I believe in miracles, because that's what it's all about. He's a miracle worker. Miracles are not things, oh, you say, oh, I got a miracle. I got, you know, $50 and so and so. I mean, it's money. That's not a miracle. Miracles is something that happens out of the ordinary, like this man's daughter, Jesus calling her, just calling her by name or speaking to her and she coming back to life. Something that you can't do. You can get a job and go to work and get a car, buy a car. I mean, you all you do is pay for it. That's not a miracle. Glory to God. But miracles are things that happen out of the ordinary. My Lord, a car that don't have a motor in it, and you got to get to work, and you don't have any other transportation, and the Lord somehow tell you to put your key in there, and you crank it up, and it drives you to work. Now, that's a miracle. And that's what we're serving, a God who is a miracle worker, who makes ways out of no way. When you think you got your back up against the wall, when Jesus had calmed the raging sea, after this is the time when he had walked on the water and was gotten into the ship with the disciples after he had preached on the mountain, he calmed at the sea, and they went over to Gadarene, And when he went over to Gadarene, and this is why he's on his way to do it. This is what I love about the Lord. You could be down there in China praying, and I'm up here in the United States, and guess what? He don't miss a beat. He hear me, he hear you, he answers both prayers at the same simultaneous, and millions of people are in his ear continuously. But because he is God and because he is the creator, glory to God, he's not the God that we built with our hands and or made with our hands and we're worshiping crystals and all this kind of stupid stuff, but he is the creator. He created us. We didn't just bust up out of the air and here we are. People just grew up out of the ground, but we have a creator. He is our Father. Glory to God. And he's so patient. The thing I love about my Father is that he's so patient because we deserve to be wiped off the face of this earth so long ago and started out with a whole new batch of people, like in Noah's day. But because of his love for us, because of the magnitude of his power and his strength, praise God, he's waiting on us. Every day is a day for us to receive a miracle. Every day is a day for us to say, yes, Lord, I surrender. Have your way in my life, glory to God, amen. Your life, as he told us to occupy on this earth, enjoy ourselves on this earth, but he said occupy until I come. But in our occupation, he also came to show us how to occupy, not like the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders who are teaching religious ways and they're living like hell on the side, you know, like you don't know they're messing up. Not like those that are putting laws and binding you with certain laws, and then they're breaking every law on every side. But that in your heart is love for God with all your heart and mind and soul, and love for your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, your friends, love for people, even loving your enemies, even being kind to your enemies. When you know they hate you, pray for them, because God will take your enemies and make them your footstool. I'm telling you, in all these years of preaching and teaching the gospel, I've seen the Lord turn people around, that people bless me. They don't look at me like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but anyway, here. That I mean, and not because I'm begrudging them or anything, but because I still love them. I'm not going to allow people to make me miss God. I don't care who you are. You hate me, that's your problem. You got to deal with it. That's between you and God, but I'm going to keep loving you. And this is what the love of God is all about. If you want to receive the miracle work and power of God, even within yourself, because Jesus himself said when he walked with the apostles and these people thronged him with thousands and hundreds of millions of people just following them around trying to get something from him, he said, I'm going to leave you with a comforter, with power, so that you'll be able, he said, you just got faith as a grain of mustard, so you can tell that tree, that sycamore tree, to be plucked up and thrown into the sea. Tell it, God, mountain, be removed, and it will happen. But you got to have faith and believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Glory to God. So back to our story, when the people in town would come around this place, from Gadarenes that had these legions of demons inside of him. He had, it was so many of them. And when Jesus approached him, he said, what's your name? He said, my name, well, they said, maybe they probably spoke in unison, but our name is Legion, and because we're many. And so Jesus, they said, please don't hurt us, don't destroy us, because they knew him. The folk that say they walk with God, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders, the people that work in the temple all day, they didn't even know him. But those demons knew him. They knew him. They went, oh, Lord Jesus, why you come over here to bother us? What you want? He said, shut up. He told them to be quiet because he didn't want everybody to know who he was. The demons believed and trembled. And they said, well, you know, please don't destroy us. Don't send us into the pit. He said, can we go into them swine? He said, yeah, go ahead. And as soon as they went into the swine went into the river and drowned herds of them. But the people got afraid and upset when that happened. And what did they do? When the people in town heard this, they came running to see what happened, and they saw this man, the lunatic man, who was caught up with all those demons. Because he used to be in the cave naked all the time, throwing himself up against the wall. He was just a crazy man. But now he was clothed in his right mind and his body. He had clothes on his body, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word of God, listening to him preach. And then the swine, they were upset because the swine, now they were upset over the swine, or the pigs we call them, that ran into the lake and drowned. And so they wanted him to leave. They sent away the master for swine. Can you believe that? And then people are doing that today. They move, they send their blessing away for things and for stuff. And Jesus said to us, Don't set your treasure on earth where moth and rust can destroy it and corrupt it, or thieves can break in and steal. But set your treasure on high in heavenly places that nobody can see, or moth and rust can corrupt. In other words, be grateful for the things that you have on earth, but be beholding and be worshipful of spiritual things, of the Heavenly Father, the love of God, the kindness. Be kind to people. He said, treat your brother the way you want them to treat you. My mom used to always say, treat people as you wish to be treated. Didn't know that was scriptural until years later, but it is. You have to be kind to people. Just because they are not showing you kindness, don't you get all upset with them, because that's their problem. Your problem and your deed or your desire is to be pleasing in the eyes of God, to have the love of God on the inside. And so after all of this, and Jesus ran into Jairus, the ruler, this is the time he ran into him. So this is what happened on this way to heal Jairus' daughter. The scripture I read, this lady had issues and she needed deliverance. She needed healing. Today, if you look in the natural and the spiritual, a lot of us, all of us are dealing with issues. There are things that we need God to deliver us from. There are things that we need him to bless us with. There are moves that we need to have him open doors and close doors. And these are issues. But this lady had an issue of blood. She was bleeding for 12 years. Glory to God. Amen. And she spent all her money trying to get doctors. They didn't know what to do. Nobody could help her. Glory to God. She had spent all everything. She had gone from place to place, traveled from place to place. They considered her unclean because of her issue. But when she heard that Jesus was passing by, and Jesus always had a crowd with him, it was hard to get close to him because the people thronged him. They were around him in bunches of people. I mean, you got to fight your way through like a herd of cattle to get to him. And so when she heard that Jesus was passing by and that the power of God was coming by, glory to God, she said, I got to get there. I got to just touch his clothes. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could just touch. I don't even need to touch the whole outfit. Just let me touch the hem, just something. I know I'll be whole. I know I'll be healed. When you're in this situation, I don't know if some of you have been that way in your life. Sometimes you got everything natural, but there's something spiritual missing. And as human beings, you're going to always have a spiritual missing. That's why some people seek out Buddha and all these other things, God's made by the hands of man, because they don't want to worship the living God to say you got to repent and turn from sin. So they'd rather worship anything else, but they're seeking spiritual connection. Every human being has a desire for spiritual connection, and some people choose the wrong connection because they don't want to be obedient to the true connector, which is the true and living God. So this emptiness has to be filled, and this woman had a determination, so she pressed her way just a touch. If we could just touch him, get the scriptures. I remember so many years ago when I was seeking the Lord for sure, that sometimes I was just going to church. But when there was a development in my life that caused me to seek him with everything I had. I mean, I ate that word, agreed that scripture, didn't know half of what I was reading. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord just burst open inside of me. And the Lord started giving me interpretations and understanding and speaking to me in my spirit. When you get that hunger for something, I don't care, you can run all over the country, you will not be filled until you touch the hem of his garment, until you touch the Lord, because that spiritual desire comes from him. Amen. Remember now, when he created Adam and Eve and he made them from the dust of the earth, he breathed his breath of life in them. They became a living soul from him. So we have the breath of God on the inside of us. The breath that we breathe, it's not our breath. Every time we inhale and exhale, that's not your breath. That's borrowed from the Father. And when he takes it, he takes it out. Your soul goes back to him if that's going to be your internal resting place. Your spirit directly is his. Your spirit belongs to him. The spirit is God's. And so that spirit, if we don't feed that spirit, it starts hungering and thirsting. And at thirst, some people feed it the wrong thing, and they become evil. They become like this man that was in that cave with all these different demons, because those are spirits. Demons are spirits too, and so they allowed them in there. But when you allow the Lord in, there's no room for the There's no room for the devil when the spirit of the Lord is filled the house. Amen. So she when this woman pressed her way, you got to think of it, you know, us. When I was, I mean, I pressed my way. I was reading them scriptures. I go to work and come home. And then I had a job where I could read when, you know, I had times and breaks when I could just read at my desk. And I was reading because I needed something. And I didn't know what I was seeking, but I found it. Praise God. Amen. And when you begin to find that connection, glory to God, you don't let go. So she pressed her way and she was determined. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his clothes, just one touch, surely I will be healed. Surely I will be delivered. Surely I will be set free of this issue that's been plaguing me for 12 years. And just remember what he said to Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. And that's what she did. She believed. She wasn't afraid. She said, I got to get through here. And she pushed her way through those folks. And she believed. But this was no ordinary touch, though. And it's, like I said, that hunger, this thirst, and this desire, when it's in your heart to touch God, when it's in your mind and your spirit to draw close to the Father, there's something that this, it's not an ordinary touch. Jesus knew that when that woman touched them, he knew that it was not an ordinary touch because he said virtue went out of him. Something went out of him. He felt deliverance from that woman. When I'm praying for people and they have an infirmity, I could feel it when the virtue is going out and when the deliverance has come. And Jesus was the Messiah. He could feel it if somebody touched him from the other side of the earth, glory to God, in the spirit realm, glory to God. We know that he felt that touch. And the disciples were like, oh, all these people, and he have been asking us who touched him. I can't tell them who touched him. Everybody touched him. But he wasn't talking about that kind of touch. Something came out. In other words, somebody needs me is what he was saying. Somebody needs me. Let me find out who that person is. And when he turned around and looked, she was so afraid. She fell down at his feet. Oh, Lord, now he know, I'm being revealed now. And so she fell at his feet. And he told her, don't be afraid. He said, your faith has made you whole. You healed just by your faith. If you want to be free, if you want to be set free, if you want to let go of those things that's holding you and keeping you captive, glory to God, you have to have a mind that says, I'm going to seek God. Apostle Paul said, we press toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. And you got to press toward the mark. You got to seek him with your whole heart, mind, and soul, like he told Jeremiah. You got to seek him with your whole mind, and you got to say to yourself, I ain't going to let nothing separate me from my God. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I will let nothing separate me from the love of my God. Not trials, tribulation, pain, sickness, death, nothing. Hurt, yes, I'm hurt. I'm in pain, yes. And I don't look like I'm ever going to get healed, but I'm still not. This will not separate me from the love of my God. I still trust and believe that my God is a healer and he's a deliverer. I still trust and believe that when I leave this side, I'm going to look up and see his face and his glory, and I'm going to be before his throne with the other brothers and sisters. I will not let go. I will not give in. I'm going to tell my Father everything I need. And just like in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Mishael, Asherel, it was three of them. Mishael, Asherel, the three brothers, their natural name, and then the Daniel, amen, the four of them, they did not give in. They said, I am not going to serve you. I'm not going to bow a knee to you. Throw us in the fire. One thing about the God that we serve, if he don't deliver us, it's not because he can't. Because he can. He can deliver us. But throw us in there anyway. Because they had that much faith, the fire didn't touch them. The people that threw them in there got burned. But they didn't get burned up. They stayed in the fire and they came out because Jesus walked around in the fire with them and calmed it. Daniel was thrown in the lion den and the lions became his pillows, so to speak. He was rested on the lions. They did not devour him. Glory to God. Because you have that much faith and trust in the Lord. Because Daniel prayed three times a day. They said probably more than that, but he was always on his knees praying. The Hebrew boys were not serving any other God but the living God. So, I mean, we can't be up one day and down to tomorrow. With some people, serving God is a dichotomy, and sometimes it is, but you can't be up today and down tomorrow. He's God today and tomorrow he's something else. He's got to be God forever and always in your life. He's got to be ruler and author of your life. Somebody say, I believe in miracles.
I believe in miracles.
When you press, he'll turn to you. He looked at that woman and he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Listen, son, daughter, when you press to him, he'll turn to you. He said, he'll say, go and sin no more. Your sins be forgiven. You are healed of this thing. If you, but see what folk fail to understand, they get healed and they come to church, the preacher pray for them, they get healed. God said, I'm free, deliver them. Instead of them continuing on in the way, they go back and do the same thing that they did. And then they be just like the man that when the demon left him, he went around and he couldn't find nowhere. And he came back and he found the man still empty, no Holy Spirit, no nothing there. He's still just dry long soul, like my mom would say. And they came and got seven more demons and came back and made the man worse than he was. If you turn away from God, you lose what your blessing. You turn, you've already dropped your blessing. You've already walked away from your miracle. Glory to God. Amen. He didn't heal you to go and use your body as an instrument of destruction for the devil, but to go ahead and be a witness to him that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What happened to you? The Lord healed me. The Father delivered me. I am free. Come on, let's go down to the club. I don't do that no more, honey. No. What you gonna do? I'm going home and I'm gonna take care of my home, my family, my children. I'm gonna do this and take care of my husband. I'm gonna do that. No, I don't run around no more, Jody. You gotta find another woman. I'm not that woman no more. I'm not your woman. Glory to God. God is gonna send me a husband, and until he do, I'm gonna keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Come on, people. I mean, if you believe in something, you hold on to that. You know, just like a husband and a wife, you know, you're true to that husband. And when you mess up and go with somebody else, then you're not true to him no more. The same thing with the wife. You're true to that wife until you mess up and go with somebody. Now you're not true to that wife anymore. You're an adulterer. And when we commit ourselves to the Father and then go messing around with doing all kind of stuff and taking our bodies, our temple of the Holy Spirit, which is, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the bodies of the living God, and use them all kind of ways, then we're using them in evil. So after that family of Jairus came running, and to tell him after this woman got her healing, and this is why I say God don't miss a beat. You're in China praying, in America praying, God still hears and he still answers. And here this woman that got her healing, he thought to heal her, but he still didn't miss a beat. And when they came running to Jairus and telling him, don't bother, don't trouble the master no more, you might as well give it up. So guess what? Your daughter is dead. You just wasting his time. And that's when Jesus turned to him and said, don't you be afraid, don't worry, just believe. Because he knew what he was about to do. Jesus had just come from the other side, and then he came up to the rock and he was casting out demons, glory to God. And then now, glory to God, he going on to headed to Jairus' house, and here comes this woman with the issue on the way there, pulling virtue from him, and he healed her, glory to God, and he still got it in his mind to heal Jairus' daughter, although they told him, hallelujah, they told him, glory to God, don't worry about it, she's dead now, let's go ahead and bury her, glory to God, but Jesus, glory to God, had other plans, glory to God. Those who have faith, they brought down miracles, signs, and wonders at the hands of Jesus. He taught them a lot of parables. He talked through scenarios so that the people could understand. Sometimes just directly speaking to people, they don't get it. But when you tell them a story that relates to their lives, then they get it. He spoke to them to the infirmities that were over people, and the infirmities stopped. He called out devils, and they obeyed him. They fell at his feet. He opened blind eyes. You know what? He didn't miss a beat. But guess what? The scribes and the Pharisees still was trying to plot to kill him. You know that you got to be in the presence of God to see all these miracles. But because of their flesh and their pride, pride will destroy you. You too proud, and you got all the truth, and nobody else got the truth, and you know it all, and nobody else, and you too proud to receive God, glory to God, to humble yourself before him, you will be your own destruction. Jesus had fellowship with publicans and tax collectors, and they didn't like that because they said they were sinners. He encouraged the Samaritan woman. Oh, man, a Samaritan? Jews don't have no dealings with Samaritans. And Samaritans were Jewish people as well, but they were of a different sect. But they didn't have any dealings with them. I would say they were the po-Jews or whatever. So while she was at the well of water, he turned to her and asked her for water. And she said, how are you going to get it? You don't have anything to put it in. So he looked at her. He said, you know what? Go tell your husband, go get your husband and tell him to come. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah. He said, you're right, you don't. He said, you had five, and the one you got now, he's not your husband either. She looked at him. She was so surprised that he knew that deep into her. But he told her, he said, if you knew who was asking you for a drink of water, you would ask him for a drink. Because you drinking that water, you're going to thirst again from that water. But the water I give you, and I'm rewording it directly as it's in scripture, but you get my story. He said, the water I give you, you will never thirst again. The living water. He told her, the Samaritan woman. She went running to tell everybody, I want y'all to come see a man who told me everything about me, knows everything about me. You need to come see this man. Let me tell you something. When Jesus moves stuff in your life and when things begin to happen, when you get a touch, when I got that first touch of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, I was telling everybody. I was on the phone. I was from Fort Lauderdale to Pompano, Miami, everybody I was in touch with, telling them about this Savior, this Jesus, this God that I have found. Bringing everybody to revivals, everybody to the church, because you wanted them to know and to taste of the power of this man of God. He turned water to wine at the wedding. That was his first miracle. He stepped into confusion to regulate the minds of the people and bring peace. Be not afraid, only believe. Just before he got to Gadara, he taught on the multitude on the seed of planting. He taught on the sower. On the soil, he taught so many different parables to the people. And this is in relative to the kingdom of God, to give them a clear understanding of the kingdom of God. And so when as a young man following the will of his father in heaven, his mother and father came looking for him one day when they went to Jerusalem to do the census. And he wasn't with them when they left. And they'd gone a couple days before they knew he wasn't with them because they thought, okay, well, he must be with some of the family members playing with the other kids. But when they searched and he wasn't there, they had to go back and find him. And so his primary concern was not that my earthly mother and father would be worried about me, but I needed to do the will of my heavenly father, which is in heaven. And so when they came looking for him, they said, you had us worried. We didn't know where you were. Why did you do this stuff? He said, why would you be worried about me? Didn't you know I would be about my father's business? And Mary kept that in her heart because she knew what he was talking about. She remembered the angel when he told her who he was and who the son was that she was conceiving from the father by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So she kept that in her heart. Can you understand that I've got to be about my father's business? Now, in other words, now it's time for me to work. You've had me and raised me this far, but now I have a work. I have a work to do. Glory to God. There was a time when he was in a meeting with some of the disciples and in one of the publican's house, and someone came to him and said, "Your mother and your brother is outside." And he said, "Who is my mother or my brother? But he who doeth the will of my father." If you are in the will of God, that makes you a son of God. Be not afraid. Only believe. I don't care what you're going through or what your problem is today, your obligation. Only believe. I don't care what you're suffering. Just believe that he is. That he's a healer, a deliverer. He's a rewarder to all who diligently seek him. Amen. Glory to God. Before he came over to Gadara, he got into the ship with his disciples. But on the way, the storm rose up, and it almost turned the ship over. But all he did was rebuke the wind and the sea, and with three small words, he said, "Peace, be still." And the disciples were amazed. They were scared. They were like, oh, my God, this ship gonna turn over, and he down there asleep. And all he said was, "Peace, be still. Where is your faith?" And the sea and the wind obeyed them. They were so amazed. They're like, who is this man that even the sea and the winds obey him? You don't get it yet. You've been walking with him all Shabbat Sata. You've been walking with him all this time, and you still don't get it. Be not afraid, radio audience. Only believe. So now it was Jairus' turn, and Jairus received his miracle. Immediately, he received it. When the enemy tried to put doubt into him, and he will come and put doubt into you, he will try to get you not to believe in the Father. But when the enemy came and tried to put doubt in the head of Jairus, your daughter's already dead. Why are you troubling the master? He heard those words, be not afraid, only believe. this delay did not kill his daughter's death to, you know, to rot, but she had to die. Remember Lazarus, when Jesus delayed on purpose so that the power of God could be revealed, that he called him out of the grave. They had them wrapped him in grave clothes and put him in the tomb.
Amen.
This was one power of necessity. They had to see the hand of God. They'd already given up. The man sent for the master, but they'd already given up. Sometimes it may seem as if the answer is not coming, but the answer may be delayed. Remember the story Jesus taught about the ruler? This lady kept coming to him and asking him. The king said, I need you to solve my problem. Here it is, me and this lady have a dispute. I need you to work this out. And he kept saying, get away from me. You bother me. I don't have time for you. And she kept on and kept on. And finally he said, you know what? Let me give her some justice, because this lady going to drive me out of my mind. Sometimes we have to worry God. Like, we have to keep on praying, keep on calling on him. And the Father will do it, because it's by power and necessity. It is a necessity. My child is calling me. My child needs me, and I've got to help them. They won't turn loose. You got to keep going. Sometimes it seems like the answer ain't coming, but guess what? It's coming. And when Jairus told him to fear not, only believe, he did just that. When he went into Jairus' house, he rebuked all of those that were scoffing and the unbelievers, because he told them, she's sleeping, she ain't dead. They laughed at him. So he told them, get out, go, leave. You got to have authority. And Jesus spoke with authority and with faith. He didn't bite his tongue. He grabbed the girl by a hand, and he said, Talitha kami, damsel, arise. And she got right up. Glory to God. She was asleep. He told Jairus, be not afraid. See, whatever you need, praying for what seemed to be impossible, be not afraid. Only believe. Speak to yourself. Talitha kumai, damsel, arise. Son, arise. Get up. Glory to God. Wash your face. Go forth. Hallelujah. Praying for your unsaved children, and they seem to be getting worse. Be not afraid, only believe. Talitha kumai, damsel, arise. Praying for a job, and you keep getting turned down everywhere you go. Glory to God. The doctor gave you some disturbing news, but you know that God is a healer. Be not afraid, only believe. Talitha kumai, damsel, arise. Start speaking life into your dead situation by faith. Glory to God. When you turn your life over to Christ, you have the position, the time and opportunity whereby you can just start speaking life, glory to God, into your life, glory to God. Jesus said, if you have faith and you can speak to this mountain and say, be removed, speak to this sycamore tree and say, be removed into the sea, it'll move. It has to move because of your faith, not just believing for things. We think faith means, I believe God to get me a car. I believe God to get me a house. I believe God, you know, for money. Come on. Faith is believing that God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You need shelter. He knows that. You need a job. He knows that. You need health. He can't get no glory out of sick and broken body. He knows that. So believe him as the healer and the deliverer of your life. Start speaking life into your dead situation by faith. Hear what folks say, but believe what the Bible says. Praying for the perfect husband or wife, But you keep running into these bombs. Walk away from them. You know what? You probably need to change your hangout. If you keep running into bombs, you're looking for a good man, and you keep running into bombs, you're in the wrong place. You need to find another place to hang out. You know, ask the Lord to order your steps. Glory to God. If 8th Street carries bombs, go to 9th. You need to move. Praying for spiritual growth and to increase your ministry. And it seems that you have no power. Don't be afraid. Only believe. It belongs to God. The work is the Father's. He'll increase it as he fit. Whatever you are believing God for, keep on believing him. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Talitha kumai, damsel, arise. Damsel, arise. Damsel, arise. Speak life over your dead situation. I believe in miracles. Glory to God. If you believe in miracles, you got to act like a person and walk like a person, talk like a person, speak like a person that believes in miracles. The people around you will always doubt. Some folk only believe what they see with their eyes. And if they can, they'll talk you out of your faith too. They'll keep talking to you and telling you, yeah, but you know what? What I saw and what I heard. And next thing you know, you all caught up in what people thought and what they heard. And then none of that don't line up with the word of God. None of it doesn't line up with the Bible. So what we have to understand is once we read the scriptures and we're not being bored and we're not, you know, being, you know, pious and all of that, but we're scripture-based people. We're caught up in the will and the word of God. And when you're caught up in the word of God, when folks speak negative, you ain't going to chop them up and make them feel bad about themselves. But you're going to tell them, yeah, but you know, I hear you. But the Bible says, and this is what I believe. And you're going to stand on that. You're going to know that God is a miracle worker. You're going to know that he's a way maker. He makes ways out of no ways. When I think that my back is up against the wall, you know what I do? I think about when Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt, and when he brought them out, and Pharaoh learned what he had done, oh, my goodness, I got to go get them back. And he started chasing them. Then when they get to the Red Sea, now they're stuck. They got Pihahiroth, the mountain behind them, and they got the sea in front of them. Pharaoh coming up fast on the side. Now, where are they going to go? And Moses didn't have a clue. And God, when he started to cry out to God, you know, that's what we do. We don't cry out to God. We start looking for help in all the wrong places. But we need to cry out to God. And God asked him, what is that in your hand? He said, stretch it out over the water. And as soon as he took the staff that God had given him from day one, the miracle-working staff that God had given him from day one, and pointed it out over the ocean, God parted the water, and they went over. Pharaoh and his army couldn't touch them. God had kept him away from them. He kept them away with a pillar of fire at night to keep them approaching them till they got across, and he covered them with a pillar of cloud during the day to keep the heat from making them sick and keeping them from being so hot. He was always there. He's always been a protector for them. All he wanted was a people that would love him and trust him and know that he is and that he loved them and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Serving God does not take you away from life. He gave us life. Life is ours. He gave that to us. He gave us the earth to enjoy, the things of the earth to enjoy. But he said, don't let them take you. You own them. Don't let them own you. People claim land. They push people off land. They steal land. They hard land, but it don't belong to them. When they die, they're in the grave by themselves. None of that land goes in the grave with them, and they go back to the dirt that God created them to and lift up their eyes in hell because of the way they treated people.
That's right.
The land, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and everything in it belongs to him. He lends it to us. Our children, I thank him every day for loaning my children to me. My children and my grandchildren, I love them for eternal life. I thank God every day for loaning them to me. And I did everything I could to rear them up. When I learned of God, to rear them up in the right way, in his way. And I made mistakes along the way. Not perfect. Thank God for being a human being. But thank God more for being a kind, a patient, and a merciful God and a forgiving God. When you know who you are in God, no matter what people say, you can enjoy life and you can enjoy it in Christ. You don't have to stoop low to have fun. You don't have to stoop low to enjoy the benefits of the gospel. Glory to God. God is a kind God, a loving God, and a rewarding God. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have nice things and enjoy our lives here on this earth. But he wants us to be holy because he said, be ye holy for I am holy. We don't want us to walk around, you know, with our head in the sand like ostriches. So God bless you. I hope you got something out of the lesson today. Your sins be forgiven. They are forgiven. And only believe. Let the miracle work and power of God be in control of your life. These bricks that I have given you this morning, I hope you take them. Go back and read the book of the seventh saint. And then I want you to read in Mark 5th chapter. But I need you to read the whole Bible, really. But start with the Old Testament and then go to the New Testament. But I need you to read the New Testament so you can become familiar with your salvation, Jesus Christ, and his walk on earth and his power. The book of Luke is so detailed. You might want to start in there or in Matthew to get a beginning of his genealogy. We need you to get into scripture so you can become familiar with this Lord, this God whom you serve. And so you can't be taking advice from the wrong people. God bless those who take good advice from those who give good advice. So we bless you. We thank you. Thank you for joining Blog Talk Radio and Life Construction Zone. And this is Bishop and Apostle Cooper of Eagles Life Church of the Living God. We want you to be safe, stay well. Don't forget, we know that we're opening up next week, but you still need to do your social distancing. You need to do your hand washing, wear your mask, and try to keep you know, don't be all over people. And if you're sick, stay home. Don't go out there amongst people spreading. We need to contain this thing. And the way to do it is to go ahead and self-isolate. So just continue in Christ in God and continue seeking the Lord. Remember what Jeremiah said. The Lord said, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with your whole heart. Father, we thank you for these, your people that have gathered together on the radio just to hear words from you. We thank you for your power and your anointing, Father, that you have spread out through the airways. Father, we ask that you touch their hearts this morning, Father. They will commit themselves unto you, those that have been fully committed, that they will stand committed to you, and those that haven't, that they will commit, and those that are thinking about it, Father, they will make the decision, because life is not promised to us. We understand that tomorrow, the next second, a minute, we could be gone. But, Father, we ask that you save them and save their household. Let no sin enter in and destroy and take them. Keep your hedge around them, Father. Take them to your glory, Father. Let them be your instruments of peace. Father, we thank you. We bless you and we praise you. For this is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I want you to confess with me our true confessions of prosperity. And this is the confession we use after every service, because we'd like to speak the word of God and believe it. And these are from scriptures. I'm going to give you the scriptures from each confession if you want to write it down so you can read the scripture later. But the first one says, I walk in truth in light of God's word, according to his ways and his wisdom. I know the truth, and the truth makes me free. That's John 8, 31 and 32. I prosper as my soul prospers in understanding of the word. 3 John 2. I live a godly lifestyle in obedience to what God says is right. Because I'm willing and obedient, I eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19. Because I fear the Lord, he teaches me how to choose the best, and I live within his circle of blessings. Psalm 25:12-13. I separate myself from darkness, and God is a father to me. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. And the last one, his truth is my shield and armor, Psalm 91:4. God bless you. We love you. Until next week. And again, if you want to send in your tithes and offering or a donation to Eagles Life, you can go ahead on a Cash App to $Eagles Life COLG. You'll see it when you dial up Eagles Life under the Cash App, or you can mail it also to ELRC@gmail.com. God bless you. We love you. Until next week, be blessed in Jesus' name.